With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We have a whole squad that can really hoop and get the job done. We got a way to win.
It's simple, simple, simple for us.
The first team ever in the 74-year history of the NBA to come back from being down 3-1 twice in the same playoffs.
Nuggets down one into Murray. Here we go. 10 seconds. Murray to Jokic. Jokic. Put it up.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chicken Nuggets podcast on the Denver Stiffs Network. We're really sorry we're a whole day late on getting this up, but apparently somebody is sleepy over there on the East Coast. Now, games, West Coast games, like, get totally gypped because East Coasters can't watch any of them, which is why the media don't ever talk about them, and it's hella annoying, but whatever. Riley, what's up? You fell asleep?
Yeah, you know, you said game time, you said game day, and I said, yes, ma'am. And then, you know, Jenna of the year, wasn't sure if he's going to be one of those before the game type things or after, but since it's, you know, one of Aaron Gordon's first games, I get it, but it was getting late, and I tried to keep the lights on, but there's nothing stopping me from falling asleep.
She says she fell asleep with the lights on, her phone in her hand. She's sitting straight up like she was tired. So
I had the game on, lights on. I was on Instagram. I mean, and then next thing you know, I wake up and I'm a goner. And I got a text from Jenna saying, you ready?
Yeah. It's all good. It always happens. I think, like, it happens a lot, honestly. Like I said, East Coasters never get to watch them. So when the media starts talking and First Take goes, and they're not talking.
Oh, it just because, you know, the hub of the country, it's the East Coast, baby. That'll help out the East Coasters because that's the hub.
Only people who live there, live on the East Coast, think this. Because you know people who live out here think that the hub, I mean, no one's saying the hub is Denver. And I'm sure no one thinks, like, in Kansas that the hub is Kansas. But, you know, like, people in L.A., San Francisco think it's there, too.
New York is the hub of America. It's actually the hub of the world. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're on the East Coast last time I checked.
Yeah. Well, that's neither here nor there. We don't have to agree on where the hub is, but I will say we should probably agree on, I think we'll agree on a lot of things today in today's episode, because there's not too much to complain about in this two game small sample size. Very, very small sample size, but there is not much to complain about since Aaron Gordon has joined the Denver Nuggets. What'd you think of the trade, Riley?
I know all y'all are just so sad that I don't get to fight with Jenna and then win and then everyone chooses my side.
About what? What?
You didn't know that? Yeah, all of our listeners, Team Riley, so are you.
On which one? On what take?
Most of them. Actually, I think all of them.
No. In fact, I saw somebody talk about how Riley was on one last episode out on Twitter. She was trying to get rid of the whole team. She's trying to trade them all. Yeah, so I don't know what fan comments you're looking at, but we have some good takes. We have some bad takes. I definitely got shit on for not liking the JaVale McGee trade. obviously the first trade that happens that day is JaVale McGee. And it's not a matter of Isaiah Hartenstein. That's not it, because I have no opinion of Isaiah Hartenstein whatsoever. He made zero impression on me while he was here in Denver, outside of he seemed to be, you know, trying really hard, trying his best, at least giving his best effort. Okay, so outside of that, I have no impression or opinion of him as a basketball player. So it's not like I thought that he was like way out of this world or like a reason not to make the trade. I just felt like it was very parallel. I get that McGee brings some championship level pedigree. Sure. That was literally one of the only things he had to say when they were like, what do you imagine your role being here? Well, I bring that championship pedigree. I'm like, what else do you bring? He hasn't even played a single minute yet. So we hope that he gets some playing time here soon so we can see what we really have and how he fits. But I stand by my take. It was parallel. If it had been the only trade of the day, I would have been livid. I would have been livid if it was the only trade of the day. Thank God they went after Aaron Gordon. Otherwise, I would have been like, no, I'm out. This team has done the same thing to me every single trade deadline for the last 5 years. I'm out. What'd you think?
When I saw that trade happen, I was hysterical because I was laughing so hard because I thought that was going to be the only trade they do. And I thought it was very typical and it just made me laugh. Like, I've never seen a team actually like trade just for JaVale McGee. And I was like, leave it to the Denver Nuggets to do it. So I was like, I just thought it was so funny, but it was so sad at the same time. I mean, he does bring championship pedigree. He, God knows what else he's brought, but he does have experience with the Lakers. You never know what kind of intel he could bring there. I like it better than Isaiah Hartenstein. But I mean, however you say his name, we never got it right, but we never have to worry about it again, really. I don't mind it. I think he brings excitement, especially fans coming back. He can always throw down a fun dunk, or he could end up on Shaq in the pool. You don't know what you're going to get with him. But wasn't opposed to it. Just thought it was funny. Thought that's how the trade day would end. And then?
Busy trade day.
Very busy trade day. Then I saw the Nuggets finally take this step and got Aaron Gordon for really nothing. Sorry, Gary Harris. I was very impressed with how we made that happen and what only we had to give up. Great move. Definitely made the team better. I'm excited about it. The internet was actually very excited for the Nuggets about it, which is cool to see. Lots of things on it because a lot of people like Aaron Gordon. I mean, mm-hmm. He gave us one of the best dunk contests we've ever seen. So, big fans of Gordon. I'm a big fan. I'm excited he's on this team. I think he's going to make this team much better. And busy trade day. Still think the Miami Heat won trade day.
Oh, my God.
Even though Gordon came with the Nuggets. Yeah. The Heat. Riley, the most beautiful basketball mind ever in a front office, did business as per usual.
You better hope Oladipo can still play like Oladipo could play before his injury, because what you have in your hands there is a perception of a player who is no longer there. You're going to get your hopes up.
Yeah, no. He just went to Houston and, you know, what was he going to give Houston? Hurt? No.
I think he played that right. I think he took his time in Houston, you know, rehabbed a little bit. Obviously, they weren't playing meaningful games, as Aaron Gordon would describe what the Nuggets do. But, you know, the Miami Heat, like, lost six in a row. figured out.
I have total faith in Coach Spo. I have faith in this organization. They're going to grind. They normally do. At this point last year, no one thought they'd be going to the finals, but then there they were facing the Lakers. Six games.
Spo is one of the worst coaches at in-game decisions. You know who the only one who's worse than him is? Michael Malone, unfortunately.
Oh, if you put Michael Malone and Coach Spo in the same sentence ever again, I don't know if we could be friends, because they are in two different tiers, and one of those guys is a lot older than the other one.
Are you? Which one, though? Because maybe I think it's Spo, right? But Malone looks older than Spo.
No, Coach Malone is definitely older than Coach Spo. Coach Spo is relatively young.
Been in the league longer, I guess.
He started off like my age, working like an odd job for the Heat, and worked his way up. Man's a beast. That's all I got to say. And all I'm saying is,
man had LeBron. That's all I got to say. Man had LeBron.
Man took his team to the finals last year and did business.
Jimmy,
I know. Your Nuggets side really gets jealous. But
no, it's not a matter of jealousy. I think the Heat are a very similar, comparable team to the Nuggets. But I think saying that they won the trade deadline is preposterous. Ridiculous.
Oh, I did.
Victor,
I do not think they're in the same.
The man he once was, unfortunately. And you don't know what you're going to get. You're hoping. I hope it works out for them. Let's give them a little run out there in the East. But you really think they're getting past the Nets in any way, shape, or form? Hell no.
Even the Nets.
Hells no.
Not buying in yet, because guess what? Egos only grow larger in the playoffs, and I can't wait to see an explosion in Brooklyn. It's going to be beautiful.
Matter, they will still outshoot you.
No.
They've played like
so together. You have the three biggest egos in the entire league on one team. This is destined for an explosion. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I still don't have the Nets going to the finals. So,
well, the Heat are not going.
Well, I'm not counting them out, and I'm not counting Philly out, and I'm not counting. There's some teams that are going to give them a run for their money, and they're going to explode on one of them. I can't wait to see it. I'm going to be the first one to tweet about it.
About the Heat exploding on somebody?
No, the Nets exploding in egos and it not working out, because it won't. And I refuse to see James Harden go to the finals.
Listen, nobody here hates James Harden more than myself. Not a fan. Wow.
Don't You're even give me started.
A fan. Corduroy's not a fan. Bentley's not a fan. Nobody.
I'm questioning all your basketball knowledge.
Nobody.
Literally, when Stephen A. came out and said he's like the greatest. No, it was Chuck, actually, one of my favorite dudes. Charles Barkley came out and said he's the best scorer of all time. I think it insulted so many Hall of Famers and so many current players, and it insulted me. And I have nothing to do with being one of the best scorers of all time. And I was like, bruh, come on. Come on.
The fact that you took something that Charles Barkley, who knows nothing of you or who you are, and he said it about somebody who wasn't you, and you took it personally.
Hey, what other? I might have a relation, because Charles Barkley's daughter is marrying a Jewish man from New York, and there's a high probability I could be related to him.
Okay. There's the connection. See? Anyways. My point being, the Heat are not passing the Nets. I'm sorry. Not pissed off Nets, not grumpy other Nets, not superstar, super ego. No matter who they show up as day of, no matter what their issues are off the court, they're still going to outscore this anyone. They're still going to put together a impressive, at the very least, finals run. You know it.
I don't believe it. I'm being totally honest. and not naive to the situation, okay? I just know it's coming. I'm looking forward to the day, and it's approaching, and I'm just
every
excited.
Every team in history should be telling you, you are wrong.
Nope. I refuse to believe in ego basketball, and I will continue to stay with the team basketball format, and that is the team that I want. I will say it is a fun, jolly time watching that from the outside. The Nets and the Lakers try to amp up their team and outduel each other by adding new people.
Yeah. The best part of the trade deadline day was seeing the Lakers not do anything. And then they
got Andre Drummond.
I know. They didn't do something, but then they did do something.
Oh, they knew that they were doing. And honestly, what a job. I mean, great pickup for them, I think. Personally, I think Drummond is
absolutely great pickup for them. It's annoying how good of a pickup it is when literally every single trade deadline, they get somebody, they go for somebody, they pay the money to get a great player for their team. Not a baby. So we're not talking a PJ Dozier here. They're like,
hey, no digs on my PJ.
I love PJ. Maybe one day he will be at a level where we won't use his name as an example.
Well, that will be up to Coach Malone if he ever wants to get him there.
I mean, this is way off topic, and we're talking years down, at least another year, but I think this team outgrows Malone eventually.
I can second that, actually. I've had this season to really dive in from draft day to now, and he hasn't grown on me. He's gone the opposite way. I'm outgrown Malone.
Yeah, I think this team will eventually outgrow him just because he's, I don't know if he's flexible enough. And then, like, he's almost too flexible at end of game situations, or, you know, very close game situations, too flexible, like leaves guys out there too long, leaves rotations out there, groups of guys, lineups that are like getting their asses kicked, and he leaves them out there like way too long. Or he pulls guys in a moment when it's like, why would you pull him right then? He's doing fine, or he's, you know, not that
I have in mind,
but I just don't know. I don't know that. I think Jokic and MPJ is putting up like crazy numbers. Like, I think these guys become maybe outgrows, you know, just like LeBron outgrew every coach he had.
Well, I think those are different situations, but I have a guy that I'd like to see coach the Nuggets. And I don't think everyone would be a fan at first, but I think it'd be a perfect match.
All right, let's hear it.
Ready for this? You're gonna hate it.
God, wait, let me think who you're thinking. I don't know that I have any harbor any like hate towards any certain coach. Okay, you tell me.
Coach Mike D'Antoni.
I don't hate him.
Big fan. I think he's a perfect match for the Nuggets. I don't think a single team could outscore the Nuggets if he was our coach.
Well, in this tiny, tiny two-game sample size, apparently, the Nuggets have, like, crazy defensive and offensive ratings with Aaron Gordon on the floor. And just overall in this two-game sample, like, they've had super, super low, like, 98, 99 or something defensive rating. Yeah. And then had like 130 offensive rating, and just crazy numbers, right? So it's been interesting to watch it, because it's like, whoa, I don't want to get too excited, but like, also Aaron Gordon hasn't played like all that amazing. He's barely like getting in there and getting comfortable, but like, it's already affected the entire starting five in such a positive way.
Well, I think he brings something the Nuggets never had, and that is a legit defensive player in the paint who's a shot blocker. That changes the whole game. That is a difference in this Nuggets team that I'm very, very excited about. And I think it does have to do with that defensive rating. You can't go in the paint like you used to go with Aaron Gordon playing in the game. I mean, yeah, it's nice if he could put up great numbers, but having him there in the paint, getting physical, being able to block shots, whew, I'd take that all day.
Yeah, no, I wasn't criticizing him for his low numbers. I was saying, like, look at how little he's doing, and it's already had such a great effect on them. I think, I mean, you're mentioning the defensive side and it being so obvious. I see it a lot on the offensive side. Guys have to guard him in the paint. They can't just leave him there. You know, where before with you had Will Barton on the – nobody guards Will Barton as is. So you already got one guy sagging, able to sag off and help on defense. But now they got Gordon in the paint. You can't really sag off of him. You have to defend. And he spaces the floor really, really well on offense. MPJ might be benefiting the most from it. Like, that was my one huge takeaway from yesterday's game, just watching, like, MPJ is, it could be just because he's spacing the floor, but I also think it's the partially about the defense, right? MPJ gets blown by on defense all the time. He's got to be focused more than anything when he's on that court on not getting blown by on defense again and getting his ass ripped again from the game. He just wants to play offense, right? So he probably has a little bit of weight lifted off of him as far as that defensive pressure goes. Like, okay, I still got a guy. It's not going to hurt us so much anymore. I can be out here and relax and get into my game. And he's doing, I mean, he's just shooting like lights out. It's been awesome.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, when you came on here and said there's just so many good things to talk about, I mean, there really is. Normally, I am a pretty positive, pretty negative person on this show about the Nuggets, but
I was like, what?
Sorry. Very negative about the Nuggets and will criticize them to the bone. But I gotta say, like, this changes the game. It really does. It's exciting, and it's really, I know it's only been a couple games, like you said, but it's a world's difference. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah. I've been enjoying watching Nuggets basketball. For sure. It has been hard to bet on the games now because some of the things that have been trends are changing, right? Like, even Jokic, his numbers were, he had some lower scoring, lower numbers. I mean, still awesome, still out of this world, but you know, sharing the ball, now you got a fourth guy who you really are going to. Barton's still being as aggressive as ever. So yeah. Awkward. The amount of shots you're gonna get up, Jokic is gonna get up, might go down. And I really hope.
I mean, you, at the end of the day, yes, we want the best for the Joker and we still believe he's the MVP, but to elevate his team, if that means taking less shots and adding this other great guy, I take that over it every day.
Yeah. And you know, the MVP conversation is always, like, I think the biggest issue with that conversation is we have different criteria. We think different things about who should be the MVP. You might think the MVP needs to play great defense. And I could argue that there have been MVPs for a season who play no defense, you know,
who aren't really unanimous MVP season right there.
Right. So I think that's where people get like bogged down in the conversation and why it's like, or of course I've heard them all because I posted some stupid video about Embiid on TikTok and everyone got pissed. But you know, the Embiid fans are like, nah, because Embiid plays less minutes than Jokic. That's all. And I'm like, I think that should be part of it. Like, it's the regular season MVP. That can mean that LeBron's the best player in the game, but he doesn't show up for the regular season all the time anymore. just based on what he wants to do with his body. It's his choice. He doesn't show up for it. Jokic hasn't missed a game this season. Like, that should count for something when you're talking about a regular season MVP. He also is in that sacrifice, like you're saying, willing to get lower numbers if it elevates where the team gets. That should, to me, that is what I think of when I think of a leader. When I think of MVP, I think of like the team leader. Most important player.
I see what you're saying. I also see the other side. I know you don't think that LeBron should always be in that conversation, but I mean, the man should have more than four MVPs at this point. But I will say, like, I don't think it necessarily means minutes, but playing every game matters. And you can't put Embiid in that conversation with the amount of games he's missed. I just don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. Sure, if it's a few games, like a couple or something, like, okay. Mm-hmm. But this man misses weeks of games. So I definitely think that should be considered.
Yeah, there's no negating that when Embiid is healthy, he is the most valuable player to these Sixers. Like, he brings a lot of value to that team when he's healthy, for sure. But I mean, how many games are we talking? Like, that's what I'm saying to these like Sixers fans. Like, you can be pissed at me that I posted a stat, you know, points allowed versus points defended or points stopped, and then total points added to the game. And they're like, well, yeah, because Jokic plays way more total points. And I'm like, but it's still like, you would still see a scale, right? Of based on how many minutes they play, which is a stupid stat. I'm not saying minutes exactly, but I am saying what you're saying. Like, when you miss a lot of games and you're not there and you're not part of several series and your team is struggling, how valuable are you to that team? And his team is still playing really good basketball without him. Like, yes, they're much better with him. They're still a really good team without
him. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there, honestly.
So there's that. And this season, LeBron is out of the question because he's also missed a lot of time.
He has.
I mean, we're talking,
I don't think that started becoming a thing until last season or the season before that, when the Lakers are trash. But
the best season.
I do think this man does deserve more than four MVP trophies.
Yeah, for sure. There were probably other moments out there. I mean, other years. But like I said, I think LeBron he's still the greatest player that's in the game. He's still dominating. He's still like a force to be reckoned with. Can anybody get past him in the playoffs? I still have no proof.
No.
So it's like,
not on the way to the finals.
Right. So it's like, I totally believe he's a finals MVP. I totally believe he's a playoff postseason MVP, but do I think he's the MVP of this regular season? No.
No.
Agreed. In many games, just like Embiid.
Agreed.
I think he's missed less than Embiid, probably.
He has less than Embiid.
We got Aaron Gordon. We got Nikola Jokic. This team is playing awesome. As I mentioned earlier, defensive rating, offensive ratings off the charts, you know, best that this team has ever had. And then there's the defensive and offensive rating when Campazzo's on the court. It's not good.
You have grown to not like this man.
It's not good. It's not good. I had to tell, I got, somebody's got to say it. It's not good.
Well, I'll say this. I did make a tweet this week about, I think Vogel deserves more minutes. Very controversial tweet. Some people liked it. Some people argued it.
Very controversial.
Yes. I tweeted it because I went back and I looked through the numbers. And when he's on the floor and the 5 minutes that he gets, garbage time or not, he's had very positive impact. I'm not saying he plays the best defense or anything like that, but I'm saying give the man a chance because it's his second or third year in the leagues. I think it's a second. He's shown improvement. He has the skill set, and I just think that he deserves to be playing over certain players like one you previously mentioned. I just say give him a shot. I mean, you never know. I mean, the way this team's rolling, I don't think it hurt to give him a shot. And people, the main question that came up is over who is the next question. I said Barton because I don't think Barton brings much defensively anyway. So I don't think you'd be losing too much there. And I think Bol has a better offensive skill set than Barton. And I don't think Barton should be playing as many minutes as he plays. I don't get it. I know there's a bunch of other things going into it. Like, he doesn't know how to help defense. He can't stand in front of someone. He gets beaten down on the block. He has trouble following plays and stuff like that. But the guy is very, very unique. And the sad part is the biggest thing I saw on Twitter that I agree with is if he was on another team, he would be given that opportunity. And that makes me sad because the Nuggets need to give him that before anything is said and done. At least for this last month that we know is kind of like some days are just bleh in the NBA, we know, because there's people resting. I'd love to get a chance to see him play like a 20-minute game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can pull up the schedule and try to find something, but I would err on the side of that ain't going to happen, Rye. I just don't think it's going to – I just don't think Malone will do it. I think
– That's my problem, though. It's like, why – Malone, like you said, doesn't like to try new things, doesn't like to change it up. Well, you got to change it up. You got to, if you want to compete, you want to find the best team you can put on the floor, put them out there.
The thing about this team that I was noticing, because I was trying to think of, you know, we're talking about, this team has a lot of Campazzos, right? That's what I keep saying. And you really have to be paying attention to the pod to figure out what I mean by that, but, or have listened to every episode, I suppose. So insider scoop, if you know, if you're not in the know, then you should go back and listen to all our previous episodes. They're also absolutely hilarious. But I wanted to think about it from like a more positive standpoint, right? Like, how does this benefit this team? And they do have what I would say, like specialized players, right? Like Bol Bol could be a guy you use in a one specific situation that works really well for you. Because let me tell, in the playoffs, there are going to be moments when that needs to be the case. And I know that because there have been seasons where we've let Myers Leonard, the Nuggets have let Myers Leonard get a game. We have let Rodney Hood get a game. Like in the playoffs, you're going to let, it's going to be Rodney Hood who's beating us? No, that's like, it should be Dame. If anyone's going to beat you from Portland, it should be Dame. And only.
But that's the playoffs, though. So, like, you have guys that you didn't see the numbers from in the regular season, and they step up.
No, that could be Bol Bol. I'm saying that could totally be Bol Bol. That could be, it might very well be JaVale McGee, too. because I don't know that Malone's going to give. I mean, we have not seen JaVale get minutes, like I mentioned earlier. But maybe JaVale's cool with that, like at this stage in his career. You know, I don't know why you wouldn't be. He's already got plenty of rings. He's still getting to play. Why not just specialize in something? You know, like, you know what? All you're going to focus on is these five games. You prepare yourself for those five games. You look at your matchup. You watch film on those guys you're going to be guarding in those five games. And maybe they're spread out. Like, we hear all the time about players who are resting their bodies, taking better care of themselves. JaVale's at that age. He could be doing that. And why not? Because this team already has – because if I'm thinking about, you know, the eight-man rotation or the 10-man rotation that Malone typically, I think, has always gone to eight, if I'm not mistaken. But 8, 10 guys that Malone's going to go to, I don't know how you fit JaVale in there. But I also don't know how you fit Campazzo in there. And I don't know how you fit Bol Bol in there. Like you were saying, who do you sit? I don't know where those three guys fit, but I can think of specialized situations when Campazzo is the most annoying guy out there. Like, put Campazzo out there on Dame against Portland. That would annoy the shit out of Dame. You know, Dame's a good ball handler, but Campazzo annoyed him. And he didn't shoot great against Denver. He doesn't typically go off against Denver. He'll go off against the Thunder, go off against LA. Doesn't really go off against Denver for whatever reason, but they do still let guys like Rodney Hood have games. And who knows, maybe Bol Bol will have a game, right, in the playoffs. I could see that happening. But I don't know that – I think Malone is going to take the rest of this season, which honestly isn't that much longer. We basically have April and then a couple weeks in May before the playoffs. So we're talking
– yeah, we got a crazy busy schedule coming up. We have a game every day or every other day.
Yeah.
But we do – there's two games coming up after the Clippers. It's Orlando and Detroit at home. Those, to me, would be great opportunities to see Bol Bol. And then after that, it gets kind of rough. We're playing all playoff teams until the 16th, which we play at Houston. It's another one I'd like to see him at. But we got a tough route. But those games would be good opportunities to really see what this guy got, because – when he does come playoff time, this man's only been playing 5 minutes a game. The likelihood of him going off and being comfortable and getting those minutes before time are going to be a factor in him being able to go off in those games. And him not playing a lot is going to minimize that opportunity.
He's still getting daily runs with the Nuggets against.
Yeah, but it's not the same. I mean, you want to play in a game. Like, you want to. 5 minutes, it takes sometimes 5 minutes to adjust in a game and come off the bench and whatever, like.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think he needs more time to get into it and really see what he can do. I mean, there's so many questions and so many things we still don't know.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. I just don't – I think Malone's going to be hunting for a better position in the standings for his playoff run. You know, the Nuggets are,
and I hope so.
Yeah, the Nuggets, well, they typically played that their standings to their favor. They have, Malone has always each year done things to ensure, you know, that he gets a certain place in the standings because he wants to face a certain team and it works in his favor. I know it definitely did this last year in the bubble. It did the year before as well. But I think that that's going to stand in the way of him really looking to develop Bol Bol at this point. Interestingly enough, my inside information that I had from sources before the trade deadline was like 100%. It's going to be Bol, Gary, and a first round. Turned out, Bol, RJ, and first round, right? And I guess they just, that from what I heard, Orlando was like all of a sudden out on Bol Bol and way in on RJ. And I don't know if it was a matter of being out or in, you know, is if.
Well, I think that more has to do with Orlando. I think they're trying to find a dynamic backcourt. And I think the future of RJ Hampton and Cole Anthony sounds very appealing and very interesting and has potential more than a Bol Bol situation. So I don't know
because Bol Bol, like, he has a following. People care about what he's doing and what he's wearing, what he's like. He is like that kind of guy that could be a superstar. I mean, if his game gets right, obviously he'll have, but he's always going to be like known for his fashion and his, like, he has a real presence.
We say this man's first and last name.
I know. We really respect him. He's like 19. We have to say his both names. Yeah. Mr. Bol Bol, sir.
I think the only person we ever do that with besides him is like LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there are people who we do that certain way. I mean, no, because some people we also just do their first name, and it's like, it's gotta be that. Like when you say Michael, you know.
Michael Jordan. Yep. There's only one Michael in the world.
Yeah, it's not like Michael. I'm saying Michael Porter Jr.
Nope, it is not the Michael.
Yeah.
The GOAT.
Yes, obviously. So, yeah, I don't know if there are other players. I can't think. No, I don't know. I haven't thought of one. I'll keep it on, keep mulling over. Now you've given me a real thing. But I lost my train of thought now, but
you're thinking about it. You're like, man, we do call that man by his person last.
I know. I'm like, geez, is there anyone else I do this with in the league? I don't know. No, I think everyone that's coming to my mind, I don't. Yeah, so I was surprised that I think you're right. I think it has more to do with like Orlando and what they're looking for than it had to do with Bol or them being in or out on anybody. But I did hear a couple of other reporters saying they thought Orlando could have gotten a lot more.
They could have. They really could have. I don't think Orlando is the best managed team right now, personally. I think they could have gotten a lot more, but I also give credit to, you know, the Denver Nuggets for giving up the least they had to give. So
yeah, well, apparently it wasn't an easy go of it. I heard just about, like, well, on the Locked On Nuggets podcast, Matt Moore was saying that he, something in regards to like Malone was instrumental in the trade for Aaron Gordon, and he had to like do some real convincing, begging to include those pieces in that trade. And I think when he said that, he was talking about Gary Harris. You know, apparently Nuggets front office, I don't know, maybe it wasn't Gary, maybe it was RJ they were really in on. But I would have thought their loyalty probably lied with Gary, and it was probably really hard for them to part ways with him.
But it was time. I know I saw all the tweets and all the people talking about Gary leaving, but in my mind, I was like, thank God this man is out.
Everyone, please, disclaimer for this Chicken Nuggets podcast in the middle of the episode here. You all forget that. Or don't forget that Riley has not endured Nug life like we have. She hasn't felt the scars or the trauma that we have with this Nuggets team. So she can be ruthless with.
I can be ruthless, but I will tell you straight. And that man was not good. And he was not good for this Nuggets team. It's the best thing y'all could have done, really.
He still plays in the NBA. But I will say it was a good option to move that contract. Obviously, it freed up a lot of money. It'll set them up better in the future. I don't know how they convinced Orlando to do it.
We'll never know, really. But
Hopefully we someday. Happy.
And he's in a, and Aaron Gordon's in a Nuggets jersey, and no complaints over here.
It's been so much fun to watch. Yeah. I will say though, you know, your whole rant about play Bull Bull over Will Barton, there was a lot of Will Barton slander up in there.
Oh yeah. Come at me, baby. Let's go.
I mean,
that's all I gotta say. If you got a problem with my pick on Will Barton, I'll gladly take it back to you. Not a Will Barton fan. He knows that. Y'all know that. You know that.
Does Will know that? You think Will knows that you're not a fan of his?
Yeah.
I doubt he knows. But I mean, I'm looking at his numbers and they're not bad. In the month of March, he's shooting 42% from the field. He's shooting, let's see, 35% from three-point range.
Jenna, all I got to say is the canceled numbers never lie because they do. That's all I got to say.
Why? Because you think those sound good and he's not good?
Yep. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
I don't know how you would improve this lineup. To you want them to also have a superstar at the point guard as well?
No, I like the top. I like the starting lineup. I don't like Will Barton when he plays it with the lineup. So,
I mean, the starters are good with Barton on the floor, and I think he doesn't. I think he would become too deflated if he was moved to the second unit. He could potentially. I just don't think he plays great with that second unit. I think they need more.
Somebody should move him.
But I think he's been pretty good. There have been games when Will's gotten like mad buckets and nobody else was on, and in the first quarter, even just if he keeps them afloat for one quarter, he's doing his job, because there have been first quarters that it's like all Will Barton keeping them above water.
I could say the same thing about him on the defensive end on the opposite side.
He is ineffective on defense, but now they have Aaron Gordon in that lineup, and I think that takes care of a lot of issues. He gets blown by a lot too. Who's the worst defender in the starters? Will?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Second worst.
Honestly, this team's been playing really good defense. Every player but Will, the past few games.
Even MPJ.
Yeah, I honestly don't think he's been playing that bad a defense. I think Will Barton's the worst defender. So that's what I've seen the past two games.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, I agree. I think they have been playing good defense. I think Jamal's defense has drastically improved as well since last year, even.
Oh, yeah. From the big bottom. Time. No, he really has. He deserves credit for that.
Yeah.
Good defensive improvements. He's actually played spectacular defense in the past couple games.
Oh my gosh. You guys, I just am a little thrown off. I don't really know how to proceed when Riley continues to speak so highly of the team. I don't know how I don't know this format, Riley. Give me some negative.
Crazy. And the scary part is it could continue, because next time I talk to you, it'll be after the Clippers, Orlando, and Detroit. So, could only get better.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that upcoming schedule. A bummer that the Clippers have several guys on their injury list. I saw somebody tweet out like, oh, this was going to be the first major check-in, like, or, you know, for the Nuggets. And I was like, damn, diss on the Sixers. I thought they were a major check-in, but I guess maybe they're saying, well, without Embiid, they're not.
Without Embiid, I don't think so. Boston will be the next great test on the 11th, I think. I'm excited for that one. I'm excited for those matchups. I think that's the next great test, though. So we got a little bit.
You're not interested in the rematch with Jeremy Grant, Detroit?
No, I think Denver's going to handle them well, especially at home, especially with fans. So.
Especially with Aaron Gordon to defend, right? Yeah. Because Detroit's a tall team. Big team.
They're tall, but they suck.
two San Antonio games after that. I feel like the Nuggets could, like, those are trap games, you know? They could drop something to pop easily, just knowing them. So
yeah, and also another exciting thing about the Nuggets schedule is we have a lot of televised games coming on.
Oh, really? TNT?
If I'm counting this correctly, counting NBA TV, because most providers have it now, we have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Nine in the month of April?
Nope, that's including the first week of May.
Yeah. Well, it's still pretty
good. But that's good for Nuggets. I mean, that's a lot. That's good. I'm excited. Don't have to illegally stream it.
For Nuggets fans who can't watch regularly televised games that are only televised to altitude because they don't get altitude. Thank you, Comcast and Altitude.
Oh, thank you, Cronky.
Yeah, Cronky and Altitude. And Comcast are both to blame in that one. Okay, so you have Boston. I'm shocked you didn't choose Miami as the first real game for them on the 14th.
Well, I know Boston hasn't played to their potential, but I still really like that team, and I really do like how. I like the matchup versus us. I think it's a very clean, nice matchup. So that's why I chose them. But yes, Miami will be definitely on my list, of course.
Of course, one to watch, even though the Nuggets blew them out last time they played it.
Hey, it's a different game, different day. And Oladipo will be in a Miami Heat uniform for the game tomorrow. So we'll see how it goes.
How did I know you were going to use the name Oladipo? Like, he shouldn't even be in the conversation. He has not proven he's the same player.
Well, I should start maybe talking about Charlotte because they are fourth in the East.
That's how you know the East isn't that great right there.
Hey.
I mean, just compared to the fourth teams in the West, you got to be kidding me.
You know, the East is weak. It always has been. Well, it hasn't always has been, but it has been for a while. Weaker than last. I mean, anybody knows that. But hey, I gotta give my Hornets a shout out. It's exciting stuff.
I know. I think last episode I wanted to give you like crap for the Hornets losing so bad to the Nuggets after you claimed they were gonna play good against them.
Yeah, well, you know, you win some, you lose some. LaMelo being out for the rest of the season hurts. But honestly, if I'm a Charlotte Hornets fan, gotta be happy right now. You definitely didn't expect them to be. I didn't expect them to even be in the playoffs. So
no, yeah,
gotta just be happy.
Yeah. Definitely, it's good for them, but. We're talking about meaningful games, in the words of Aaron Gordon, meaningful games. Apparently, Orlando fans are, in fact, upset about that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Sucks to suck. That's called being salty.
I remember when I used to say sucks to suck. Been a minute.
Oh, been a minute, huh?
Been a minute since I
used to. I'm trying to stay cool with the hip kids.
I don't even think he meant it that way. I think he just meant like, cause they're actually contending, you know?
Oh, he meant it that way.
I don't think he meant anything to Orlando. He was talking about praising Denver and Orlando took it personally, but like when you're a Spade.
He would see it that way. That is the most Nugget mindset way to see it, I think, on the history of this earth. No, Jenna, he didn't mean it that way. He means he's been playing for a sucky team. Now he's playing for a better team. And he was sick of playing games that didn't matter.
Why are we assuming he's such a negative thinker? That's such a negative way to think. Maybe he was thinking positive.
I think it's still positive in that way.
To talk about how he's been playing for such a sucky team? Or
yeah, that's the La Vista, baby. Let's go.
That plays. Never mind. You don't get it. negative mindset here, people. You know, we need to get Riley on some meditation. Maybe feed her with some calmness.
Low expectations create the best surprises, let me tell you, folks.
What kind of meditation?
No, I'm saying that if you go in with low expectations, you will have way more surprises.
Yeah.
And they'll be all that greater. That's just how I feel about it.
I suppose.
I've been positive this podcast, though. Give me credit.
Except for the part where you assume that Aaron Gordon has no...
Oh, my God.
Like,
I forgot. As soon as he put on a Nuggets jersey, we defend him. My bad. I forgot that little golden rule of the Denver Nuggets.
I was like the first media member to ever criticize Michael Porter Jr. Everyone hated on me for that. I was the only one not on board. And I also criticized Gary Harris. Like, everyone's like, oh my God, thank God Gary came back during the bubble. I'm like, he played one or two good games. Two good games where he was impactful.
Then, and he even has a list of the two times that she criticized the Nuggets.
Oh my God. These are like recent times. I'm giving you examples of recent moments, okay?
It wouldn't be a podcast if I wasn't mocking you a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But you're not right about the Nuggets homer calling me a Nuggets homer and whatnot.
You're a Nuggets homer. I hate to break it to you. Breaking news. Woj announced Jenna Garcia is a Denver homer. Oh, and I'm here to keep her in check, and that's what I signed up to do.
You're a Heat homer.
I'm not a Heat homer. I can acknowledge bad things about the Heat. I can acknowledge when they're terrible, like they've been this season.
Have you ever?
I just think that Pat Riley's a genius, and I have all trust in that man because he knows what he's doing. So,
I've never even spoken a single ill word about Pat Riley in your life. You've never even probably thought negative about Pat Riley.
Okay. Give me an example to say something negative about Mr. Pat Riley. And be careful because you might want to go and work for the Heat one day.
I'm just saying the man is human and not all of his choices have been perfect.
Maybe not personally, but basketball-wise, pretty close.
No, he's who is perfect in this realm? No one, but... Yeah.
Tell me, guys. I see the anger. This is like, I feel like this is when I feel like we're sisters and she wants to kill me.
No, I'm not angry. I'm just saying, yes, he's won more than he's lost. But still, that's how you know you're a Heat homer if you can't speak ill will of Pat Riley.
Give me something.
Or Dwayne Wade. Like, you would never say anything.
Well, I call out Dwayne Wade personally,
but not his name.
Basketball-wise, no, because that man is different than anyone I've ever seen play on a basketball court, and I've seen a lot of people play on a basketball court. So, no, I can't basketball-wise.
You're not.
Well, the only thing I could is when he left the Miami Heat to go to the Chicago Bulls and then Cleveland and then realized quickly that he was part of the Miami Heat and he should have never left.
Yeah.
That's about it, though.
But you're a Heat homer.
Say what you want, but I'm not as bad as you.
You were talking about how Tyler Hero is amazing. He's been shitty.
He has been. I could be the first to admit. No problem. He's been terrible. It's gone to his head. We'll see if he recovers. I don't know. But you're right.
And you weren't singing his praises 10 seconds before the season started. You were like so pro.
Along with everyone else, and he deserved it after the finals run, and you know it. But he's been too hung up on Nadia or whatever, Natata or whatever her name is.
The woman in the situation.
The big booty woman.
He's a professional. He should be able to stay focused just fine.
Oh, it's I blame you. Trust me. I do.
Anyways, now that we're just clear on that, you're a homer and I'm a homer for our own teams, which I just still... to completely disagree with me being a homer. I'm biased, but I'm not a homer, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm slightly biased, but I'm not a homer. I would definitely criticize. I have criticized Kroenke organization, even if I wanted to work for them someday. I've criticized, I would never not criticize somebody just because I want to work for them someday. Sorry. Yeah. If I thought you were doing something wrong, I'd tell you my opinion. So
I hit a nerve. I hit a nerve, folks.
Oh my God. That's not even it. It's totally fine.
You know how she does this thing when you hit a nerve and she can't give it up. She got to keep getting on it.
I actually don't remember the question. I'm pretty much just filibustering until I can figure out what I was thinking about originally doing with this conversation. So if you want to help in any sort of way by giving me some sort of hint about where we were going, feel free to jump.
We were just talking about the upcoming games.
Yeah.
That was it.
Oh, that Miami's playing. Okay. Yes. Well, I think it's, even though it is kind of a really busy schedule coming up, there's not like a single game or a single stretch where I think the Nuggets are going to struggle very long. You know, I do think Boston could give them trouble. I think that, well, Toronto gave them trouble, so it could happen again. But now that they have this, now that they have Aaron Gordon and these new options and stuff, it's looked so good. It's hard to kind of analyze what I think might go wrong. You know, not sure what.
The only thing I can think of is that the home stretch when a bunch of teams are trying to make the playoffs, like you look at New Orleans and Memphis and Golden State, they're obviously going to be on another level because they're trying to slide in. So. You never know if those ones.
Yeah, boy, did they wish Aaron Gordon had had been traded a day earlier so he could have been there for that New Orleans game because Zion just had his way with them. So,
and he said wasn't even that big. I have been sending her Instagram pictures of this man's muscles.
Okay, but I'm talking about last year when I saw him last season. And he wasn't, he was injured. He came into town and he wasn't playing and he didn't look as big to me as I thought he was going to look, you know, like what I had anticipated and built him up to be in my head. But obviously in the picture, yes, she has sent me pictures, you guys. It's really annoying. And she's like, look, and it's like one specific picture where Zion's bulging bicep is like the front of the picture. And I'm like, obviously he has muscles. No, I'm not saying he doesn't have muscles, he's not muscular, and clearly in that photo he was very muscular, looked photoshopped to be honest, but
it wasn't. That's the thing about Zion, it looked photoshopped, but oh my God, the best thing I ever heard about Zion the past week was the comparison to Shaq and the presence he brings physically. That was a great comparison, and I see it.
Shaq say that about himself?
Huh?
Did Shaq say that?
No, he didn't. I forgot who said it. It was someone else, but it wasn't Shaq.
Yeah. I'm not saying that Zion's not big. I'm saying he wasn't as big at when I got to see him because of the injury and stuff. But he definitely gave them problems. And I think that'll be alleviated now with the Aaron Gordon situation taken care of. I'm so excited for every Nuggets game. But I'm not hitting my bets nearly as often because it's kind of thrown a wrench into how the system works and how this team plays and who gets what, and how many assists are distributed to who and whatnot. But it has opened up Michael Porter Jr. Betting MPJ, I bet him last week over the over on his points, rebounds, assists combined. And that was easy money because it's opened up his game. So I'm pretty excited to watch MPJ kind of take that next step too, now that Aaron Gordon's there. And I don't think his numbers in the two games really reflect what it's going to be on average for him. I think he'll still get better numbers than he's been getting once he gets more plays run for him. I'm sure he's still learning the playbook and whatnot, but once he gets more plays run for him, I'm sure his numbers will go up. As of right now, though, don't bet on him because it's not guaranteed because you don't know how this system is going to work. Last game, he didn't get that many minutes too. So like there was, he did he got a good amount, but he didn't get as many as I thought he would, or as he did the first game. So we'll have to see, but I'm really excited for Nuggets games moving forward. Next week, Riley, we'll be back with another episode, and I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about with those three games, and I'm sure we'll have something else random to talk about as well.
Jenna will not keep me up till 1 a.m. next week.
Thanks, guys, for listening to the Chicken Nuggets podcast. We'll be back. Talk to you later.